The ninth and final parak of Masechet Kilayim deals specifically with or exclusively with the kilayim of garments, of clothing. And the Torah lets us know in several places that there's an issur of shatnas, the issur of wearing shatnas. Our Mishnah will define shatnas as basically kilayim of clothing. So that is what the final parak deals with. And specifically now, our very first mission, the final parak, is going to take a look at exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the issur of kilayim of clothing. So Mishnah Aleph of the final parak starts, En asur mishum kilayim ela tzemer upishtim. There is no prohibition of kilayim other than with wool and flax. Ve'ein metameh b'negayim ela tzemer upishtim. And no fabric contracts tzaras other than wool or flax. Ein hakohanim lovshin lashamesh bebeis hamikdash ela tzemer upishtim. And as well, the kohanim do not wear any other clothing for the temple service than wool and flax. So again, because the Torah specifically mentions wool and flax in Devarim, we learn out that these are the only materials that are included in the kilayim prohibition. When we talk about wool, we're talking about exclusively sheep's wool. Okay, so any other type of fabric that can be made out of any other type of hair of any other type of animal would not count. And the same thing with flax. If we had any other plant that you could spin out its fibers and make a type of clothing, these would not be fall under the issur of kilayim. So again, the prohibition of kilayim in garments rests exclusively with sheep's wool and the flax plant. And we see that both sheep's wool and flax plant or garments made out of these two things are the clothing that are subject to tzaras. And as well, these are the only type of materials that the Kohanim use in the Beis HaMikdash, that used to wear in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah continues and clarifies a little bit further. Tzemer gmalim v'tzemer rachelim trafan ze vaze im rov min hagmalim mutar v'im rov min harachelim asur mecheta lemecheta asur v'ken apishtan v'hakanabus shetrafan ze vaze. So our Mishnah explains that camel's hair and sheep's wool, which were mixed together, if the majority is from camel, it is permitted. If the majority is from sheep, it is forbidden. Half and half, it is forbidden. And so too with flax and hemp, which you mix together. So we know, as I mentioned earlier, that the only type of prohibition of beged kilayim is with flax and sheep's wool. There would be no problem with flax and camel hair. So if you want to make some kind of, coat out of flax and camel hair. So if one mixed camel hair with sheep's wool, if the majority was camel hair, then one could then take that mixture and mix it with flax. If the majority was sheep's wool, one could not. The mixture would be forbidden because, of course, the majority is sheep's wool and you can't mix sheep's wool and flax. And if it was half and half, then it is still forbidden. And the Mishnah explains, so too with flax and hemp, which you mix together. So again, the same idea. If you were to mix flax with sheep's wool, we know this is forbidden. If you mix flax with hemp fibers, then we know that that is permitted. And so if you mix, if you have a mixture which contains more hemp than flax, then you can mix it with sheep's wool. Interestingly, Yerushalmi brings down the idea that if raw wool got mixed in with flax, one could save this mixture by adding enough camel hair that it would annul the wool. So that is, by adding to the mixture of flax and wool a quantity of camel's hair greater than that of the wool is nullified and the mixture it views containing exclusively camel's hair and flax only. What's interesting about this is that one sees that in any set of circumstances, you can never mevatel or nullify a mixture of sheep's wool with flax. In other words, you can't put 200 million tons of flax and, half a pound of sheep's wool and you're okay. It seems that the issur of beged kilayim applies in any amount vis-a-vis flax and wool. However, one can nullify the wool by camel's hair, and then one can weave this camel hair mixture in with the flax, assuming that the sheep's wool is in the minority. So again, that is our very first Mishnah in Kilayim, and we see that basically so far on the first Mishnah, that there is a really limited range, whereas we saw in the previous Prakim, there's, quite a bit of back and forth with, vineyards, and with this type of plant, and that type of plant, and fruit trees, and vegetables, and, greens and everything else. Here, at least at this juncture, seems fairly straightforward. You have two things and two things exclusively that constitute bega key lime, and that's flax and sheep's wool. And you can, in fact, nullify either the sheep's wool or the flax with some other substance, and then even at that stage, then weave it into the flax or the sheep's wool, respectively. Okay. Mishnah Bet. Hashiraim v'hakalach ein behem mishun kilayim aval asurim mipnei morasayin. So we have this shiraim, which is commonly understood to be silk, and we have kalach, which is a bit of a confusion about. Some people think it's some kind of different grade of silk, or perhaps it's some type of moth that grows on rocks near the ocean. However, the Mishnah says beferish that they are not kilayim. However, they are forbidden because of morasayin, because of their appearance. So again, the Mishnah makes it clear that there is no isra of kilayim vis-a-vis these two things, but I guess because silk looks, silk looks similar to flax and kalach look similar to wool, so for whatever reason they decided this looks similar enough, they would be forbidden to allow this. The Mishnah continues, Hakarim v'hakasasos ein behem mishum kilayim v'bilvad shelo yeh basaro nogea bahen. So mats and cushions do not present a problem of kilayim, provided that his skin does not touch them. And this Mishnah is continuing in the same vein as it started, right? The middle of the Mishnah is continuing in the same vein as it started. At the beginning it says these two things are not key lime. However, because they could appear to be key lime, we have to be concerned. So to here, biblically, there should be no problem at all with sitting or lying on mats or cushions or anything like that. Because after all, the Isra of Shatness relates directly to wearing an item, not sitting on it. However, the rabbis were concerned that, possibly if there was some fraying fabric or whatever and you lay on it and you sat down, you could end up wrapping up some kind of, kilayim situation. However, if the mat is very hard or if the cushion is empty, okay, then the rabbis do permit sitting or lying on them, providing the skin does not touch them. And this is because hard mats or cushions are not as likely to fray, right? If you have like a really solidly woven mat, then it's highly unlikely that it's going to fray. As long as something separates between the person's skin and the hard kilayim, then there's no problem sleeping on them. However, soft mats and cushions containing kilayim may not be used at all. Because anybody who has any kind of like really soft, thin sheet or fabric, you can see that the threads do pull and there is some fraying. So there's a greater risk of having kilayim upon oneself with a soft mat or cushion, far more so than with a hard mat. Mishnah Bet continues, In arai l'kilayim, b'lo ilbash kilayim afilu al gabe asara, afilu lignov esameches. So the end of Mishnah Bet explains that there's no such thing as like casual kilayim, and a person may wear kilayim even on top of 10 other garments, and even in order to evade a tax. So our Mishnah makes it clear that what does it mean by arai? It means that if one were to wrap oneself in something in a house, maybe, or use it as a garment, but it's not really a garment, or maybe it's like some kind of ratty old bathrobe or something. I have no idea. Anything like that is still you still have to be concerned about kilayim. So even if it is something that one normally wouldn't wear as a garment or something one wouldn't wear out of the house, the Mishnah is letting us know that you are in fact over the Isra of Kilayim. And in a similar vein, it lets us know that even if you're not enjoying wearing the garment, right, even if it's like like a hot day and you have like a big Kilayim vest on over tons and tons of other Kilayim, it's still Usur. And even in a situation where somebody were trying to pass some kind of illegal tax or trying to cause some kind of trouble. So clearly in this situation, you're going to put on your, your kilayim vest, and then you're going to put on, you're going to put on your wool vest, and then you're going to put on some other clothing over it, and you're trying to avoid this illegal tax. However, even in a situation like that, right, where you don't want to, you're basically just transporting merchandise, and you don't even want to wear it or anything else, so even in these situations, you still are going to be over the Isra of Kilayim. So even if your sole intention is in order to evade the tax and not in order to derive any physical benefit whatsoever, you might think, oh, okay, you know, I can, that's fair, right? So, okay, I understand that I can't wear, key lime in like, in a wry fashion, but clearly if I'm just trying to get out of paying a tax, an illegal tax, then I can do it. And the answer is no. So again, our Mishnah lets us know, our Mishnah starts by letting us know that although it's true that only Tzemer and Plishtim are the, sole items, the wool and the flax, or the sole items that really count as key lime, it does let us know that there are certain issues of Moras Ayin, okay, so even though they aren't technically key lime, you have to be careful, and you do have to be concerned about a situation where you have like soft mats, and even if you are wearing a garment in a kind of in a casual way, or even if you're simply wearing a garment in a way to avoid an illegal tax, in all these situations you cannot it's still an issue of key lime. And I think the mission probably just comes to qualify the first mission, because you could really walk away from that first mission and think there's not much to this issue of key lime of clothing. And so the second mission is coming to sort of qualify that and make it clear that there are still really legitimate concerns and that one can't treat it lightly.